And continuing with our theme of light, we thought we might as well do a little Hank. I saw the light.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow and sigh. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
You can do better than that.
I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
All right, Glenn. Yeah.
How about Glenn?
First solo.
And not the last.
Hey, a star is born. And we have another one. This song is going to feature Brother Sam. As you know, he likes to sing down in the gutter. So we're going to let him hit
Some
it.
Some of us are there with him.
We've been in the gutter, but we've tried to climb out occasionally. All right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little light with Jesus makes it whole.
Let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Feel a little prayer will turn him. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Without a ray of cheer. Cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
And he will
answer by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turn him.
Then you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turning, know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right.
Let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer wheel turning,
then you'll
know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right.
Well, that's Sam. How about it?
Give Sam a big hand.
Thank you, back row boys. And now they'll scatter and just be congregation boys. That was wonderful. Thank you very much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all today? So there's no bag. It got left here. Yay. Do y'all know why I do the bag? I'm not going to tell you the real reason, but I'll tell you the really cool reason. All right? So what do we usually take out of the bag? Different stuff, right? All kinds of stuff, and we never really know what that stuff is going to be. And in life, do we know how things are always going to go? No. We don't always know what God is going to give us. We don't always know when he gives us something, what we're supposed to use it for, what the purpose is, or what in the world he was thinking when he gave it to us, right? But we've got to work with it, and we've got to do with it, because God gives us what we need when we need it. And so when we have the bag every week and there's something different in there, we're thinking about all of the different things that point us to God. And everything can point us to God in some way or another if we can be creative enough to think it through and look at it and really consider it, okay? So I want us to remember today and always that God is with us all the time, that he is always showing up in ways that we don't expect, and with items and things in life that we're not always prepared for. But if we allow him to continue to move and work as he always does, something beautiful will happen and we will see him and know him more fully, okay? So we're going to pray, and then is Miss Vicky taking, Miss Vicky's going to take you all to Children's Church, okay? So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. We pray that we would continue to see you, Lord, in everything that you do for us. We thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have not only to teach them but also to learn from them. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 1 through 8 and 15 through 16. If you will remember with me, we are in our stewardship campaign, and we are so excited about that. Last week, we looked at Luke chapter 13, and we considered the things that give us stress and anxiety. We looked at the things that often bind us and keep us from being free, and we had the opportunity to be reminded that Jesus is calling us, and he sees us, and he desires to set us free. And today, we are going to consider the idea of sharing. Who loves to share? Yeah, that's more than I would have expected. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and 15 and 16 say this: keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them, and people who are mistreated as if you were in their place. Marriage must be honored in every respect, with no cheating on the relationship, because God will judge the sexually immoral person and the person who commits adultery. Your way of life should be free from the love of money, and you should be content with what you have. After all, he has said, "I will never leave you or abandon you." This is why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can people do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 15. So let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise through him, which is the fruit from our lips that confesses his name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have, because God is pleased with these kinds of sacrifices. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for this day, for your love and for your grace, for your mercies that are new each day. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and we pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. How many of us are familiar with the saying, "Everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten"? How many of us know this is true? Yeah. You remember there's no algebra in kindergarten, right? Amen. We're taught to share in kindergarten, right? You got to share. You've got to share your toys. You've got to share the spotlight. You've got to share all of these things, because when we're in kindergarten, we're selfish. We can be jerks, right? It's okay. I've got one that's been through kindergarten and one that's on the way. We can all be jerks sometimes. We've got to share. We've got to share. We've got to give to others the things that we have, because that's what God wants us to do. You know, you could almost replace this or say, "Everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten and Sunday school," right? Because we know that God wants us to share, right? Because God wants us to do the right things. And we want to make God happy. He is our Father after all, and we want to make him happy. In verse 16, the author here in Hebrews tells us not to forget doing good and to share what you have. These kinds of sacrifices, he says, pleases God. These are the things that make God happy. These are the things that God rejoices in when we do good and when we share with others. The Greek word here that is used for share is the word koinonia. And I think that's pretty interesting. And all you Greek scholars out there immediately are like, "What? That's an interesting word. Why in the world would that be the word that's used?" I know. That's what I was thinking too. And for the rest of you, sorry. So koinonia typically means fellowship. It means community, communion. And here, that's the word that we translate into share. There's the expectation that when we are in fellowship, when we are in communion, when we are a part of a community, that we will share. That we will give of ourselves freely for the common good, as Paul alludes to in 1 Corinthians. And this is the natural outcome, this sharing, this koinonia, this fellowship. It's the natural outcome of the mutual love he speaks about in verse 1. He uses the word Philadelphia. What does Philadelphia mean? City of brotherly love? Wrong. The A makes it feminine. It's the city of sisterly love. But alas, we're Americans, so we just make it mean whatever we want it to mean. It's this phileo love, this familial love that we are to have for one another. It's a little different than agape love. It's not necessarily that unconditional love that God gives to us, but it's the love we have for one another and the love we are able to show to one another, this mutual love that he's speaking about. This mutual love and this sharing exhibit themselves in several ways, and the author gives us a list of virtues for us to follow. And this is nothing new. We see these lists, these virtue lists, all throughout the New Testament. They're all a little different. They've all got different emphases in them, which make them unique to the various authors. But we want to go through this list of virtues and begin to kind of see the things that we are called to as those who are to have mutual love, as those who are supposed to do good and to share and to be in koinonia, fellowship with one another. And the first one is hospitality. We are to open our homes to guests, to those who may come our way. And he says, who knows, but you may entertain angels unaware. Now he is, of course, alluding to Genesis when Abraham greets the three strangers that come his way. And he shows them hospitality, and he fixes them a meal, and he has them to stay at their place. And we quickly learn that these are messengers of God who have come to share that Sarah is going to conceive and give birth to Isaac. We remember also Lot in the city of Sodom takes the strangers in and shows them this same type of hospitality in the midst of a city who refuses to show that hospitality. Hospitality in this time and in this culture and in this place was an expectation. You were supposed to show hospitality to strangers. Welcome, this hospitality implied protecting and sharing your resources with your guests. And for these people, it was a cultural imperative. It's not so much the case anymore. We tend to show hospitality very well as a community of believers on Sunday morning. We maybe are less hospitable other times of the week. It's things for us to consider and to ponder. Hospitality. It's the first thing he lists. The next is visiting those in prison, taking care of those who are vulnerable. Now, in this time, prison wasn't itself a punishment, but it was what one waited in until the punishment. So it's a little different, maybe, than we have today. And he tells us that we are to put ourselves in their place. Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them. And people who are mistreated, a better term maybe, people who are tortured, we're to remember them as though we are being tortured with them, as though we are in prison with them. Now, many of you know that one of our number is in jail right now. I won't say the name simply because this is being recorded, but we are taking pictures and going to send with him. He just celebrated his birthday on Friday, unfortunately not at home, but in jail. And so we're going to take a couple selfies, and we're going to wish him a happy birthday. Y'all smile. Very nice. Oh, wave. I like that. All right, now we're going to come here. Luckily, he'll see part of my face in each of these. So. All right, perfect, perfect. There we go. There we go. Got one more. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to leave y'all out. Y'all smile, too. All right, let's get it right there. All right, here we go. You ready? All right. We're going to send these pictures because we don't have the opportunity of being with him the way that we would want. But we want him to know that we are with him and that we care for him. We want to empathize. I'm always intrigued at how these verses play themselves out. Again, this was last October that I considered what I would preach on today. Visiting those in prison, walking a mile in their shoes, recognizing that while they're there, we have an opportunity to be there with them. Showing hospitality, visiting those in prison. The third virtue that he lists is honoring the marriage covenants. I think this is in there to remind us really to consider all covenant. As people of covenant, we know that God is in covenant with us, and he invites us to be in covenant with him and with others. And this marriage covenant is certainly a very personal one for many of us in many different ways. And often in the Old Testament, we see God alluding to the marriage covenant that Israel has broken with him. And so he uses this as an example here, I think, to remind us of covenants. And then again, when we think back to hospitality, we think back to the covenant God made with Abraham. And we see the importance here of covenants. And then finally, he mentions contentment. He doesn't mention contentment maybe necessarily, but there's implication of that. Freeing ourselves from the love of money. And this virtue of contentment, he pairs with two promises in the Old Testament that associate with this. And this is unique to the rest of the list of virtues. He puts this with two Old Testament, well, actually three Old Testament passages. The first is from Deuteronomy 31:6 and Genesis 28:15. And I know you know this, but I put it up there just for me. He says, "I will never leave you or abandon you." And we, of course, remember Jesus' words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" And we know that because Jesus came to be forsaken, to be abandoned, to take all of that upon himself, we know that we ourselves will never be abandoned. We will never be forsaken. God will be with us regardless of where we are, regardless of whether we feel we are worthy of it or not. The second one he lists is from Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can people do to me?" We know that God provides for his people. It's what he does. It's who he is. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for us. Others cannot truly harm us, because we know that God protects us. God guides us. God leads us. This sharing, this mutual love, hinges on all of these virtues listed. But contentment is the crux, the bumper chute, the umbrella that encases all of these. Because if we are content, we will show hospitality, because we're not going to be worried about the things that may occur. We are content with where we are. We are content with what God has done. We are content with what God will continue to do, because as he reminds us, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we're content, we will visit those who are in prison, those who are less fortunate, those who find themselves in difficult, vulnerable situations, because we know it's what we're called to do. In our contentment, we will honor the marriage covenant. We will honor all of the covenants that we are a part of, because we will be reminded and we will know that God is in the midst of those covenants, that God has called us to be a covenant people. And we know that that will mean compromise from time to time. We know that that will mean we have to accommodate for others from time to time because we're in covenant together, because we don't all see things the same way, right? There are a lot of us in here, and there are twice as many opinions about any one thing as there are people in here, right? Can we be content in the midst of that? When we are content with what we have, when we recognize God has our needs met, we are free to give freely out of our excess. And ladies and gentlemen, as Americans, we all have excess. I've been reading a book by Mike Slaughter, former pastor of Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church in Ohio, and it's the name of the book is The Christian Wallet. And he says, very interestingly, our trash compactors and pets eat better than the vast majority of the world. That hit me like a Mack truck the other day. I knew it, but hearing it in this way really kind of brought it home. We are a people of excess. We are blessed beyond measure. And we have the opportunity to share, because of our mutual love for God and for each other. I think sharing is taught in kindergarten because children are quick to say one thing. Everyone knows what that one thing is, right? Mine. Ugh. I don't know who taught that to Nora, but we're not friends anymore. Mine. They are so quick to say mine about anything. And if we really think about it, we can be too quick to say that as well. We learned in kindergarten that we shouldn't say it. It hadn't quite stuck yet, right, from time to time. How quick we are to say mine. Are we quick to say that in our own lives? Have we truly considered that what we have is not really mine, but it has been given to me to steward, to share, to give? The table set before us today, as you'll hear me say in a few moments, is Christ's table. It is his. He can rightfully say mine about this table. But he calls each and every one of us to that table. And when we come here, we will hear God say of each and every one of us, mine. And that's a beautiful thing. And I hope and pray that as we come to the table this morning, we will hear God tell us that we are his, that we will begin to truly see that mutual love that we have for each other and that God has for us and that we can have for God, and that instead of us considering what's mine, we might truly consider what is God's and begin to ask him, God, how do you want me to share what I previously thought was mine with all of the people who are yours? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day. This is indeed a wonderful day and a wonderful gift that you have given to us, and we pray that you would keep us mindful. Help us to share as you have called us to share. Help us to show hospitality, to visit those who are sick and in prison, to be content, to keep the covenant that you have set before us. And in all these things, may people come to know that they are yours and that you love them dearly. We ask all of these things in Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen.